Okay, why don't we start? Previously, we were talking about an introduction to statistical pattern recognition, and we met the curse of dimensionality. And one way around it, and it's an approximation, but it's a way around it, is this idea called naive Bayes, where we assume that all the dimensions, or each of the dimensions in our problem, is independent of each other. This is really good because, I mean, intuitively, you can just think of it, instead of having to consider all the interactions between the sets of dimensions, we're just kind of taking each one on its own. So that's obviously a lot less computation, but it's obviously a much less rich model. So what I want to do today is to look in a bit, in some detail, how we would use this approach for the problem of text classification, the sort of thing you might have with, as I said, email spam filtering. The thing that's sort of like called Bayesian filtering, but honestly, there's a thing called Bayesian filtering and this isn't it. Okay. So let's see, there's a reasonable amount of material today, so let's see how far we get. And what I want to talk about, let's just go cut straight to the chase. So this is what we want to do. We want to do text classification. So we have a document. We'll call it D. For now, D is just your document, and it's a sequence of words. That's what we'll think of as a document. A sequence of words, of course, has two pieces of information. Well, many pieces of information. It has the words that are in it and the order in which they come. That's our document D, and we've got a set of classes. In this case, or you can think of, if it's convenient, just think of two classes, spam and ham. So what we finally want to obtain is the probability that our document is spam, given the document, or the probability of class spam, given the document, and the probability of class ham, given the document. That's what we want to get. And we can do the usual Bayes rule, where we decompose things into two terms. We have the what we call a likelihood term, the probability of a document given the class, and then the prior term, the probability of a class. So in the case of spam filtering, the prior term might arise from, you might have lots of good statistics, maybe in the way users have done click-through in the past, I don't know. Maybe you just get them off the web. These sorts of statistics are available. So you know that the probability, without even looking at it, once upon a time, you used to set up your machine so it went bing whenever an email arrived, and you're insane if you do that now, because you'd just have a consistent bing, 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 bing all day, which would drive you mad. But just say you're back in the past, or whatever, and you do have a machine that goes bing whenever an email arrives, at that point, your probability of whether that email is spam or ham is your prior probability. You haven't looked at it, you just know bing, an email's arrived. And you kind of, you know, maybe you sigh and say, 95% chance that's going to be spam. And you might be exaggerating, or you might be correct. That's the prior probability. The sort of thing, the sort of document model that we have, the probability of a document given spam and the probability of a document given ham, this is the kind of real engine of the classification, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, the key thing here is how do we actually represent this thing? Because a document's kind of, it's a complex object, and if you really kind of wanted to go to town on this, then you might say, well, you might have all the, who knows, maybe it's an HTML email and it's got all that markup, or There's certain things which we might ignore, like punctuation, which you might want to take into account. Maybe you even care where people go and put line breaks and stuff like that. That's all part of the document. We're going to make our document, even for considered document models, much simpler. It's just a sequence of words. But we still have the issue of what's our probabilistic model for D? How do we represent D? And basically, remember we're working in this sort of framework we think of as generative models, because this probability here is talking about what's the probability of the document under consideration being generated from either the spam class or the ham class. So we need a probabilistic model, a probabilistic generative model to do this. And at the end of the last lecture, I introduced the two models that we're going to look at. So you've got the Bernoulli model. This is a nice, simple model, and it throws away a lot of information, but it's you can estimate it. In the Bernoulli model, we estimate a document by a binary feature vector. So actually, let me step back one step. When we're doing all this type of text classification, we're working in a very high dimensional space. The dimension of the space is the number of different words. If you want to have a figure in your mind for English, we're talking 50,000. That's the sort of ballpark figure you should have in the back of your mind. That's quite a high dimensional space. It's a high dimensional space than you'll have worked with in when you previously did a vector geometry class, but you know, don't worry about it. It's also a pretty sparse space, because unless you have very, 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 very long documents, like each document's a dictionary, most of the elements are going to be zero, because you can kind of think, well, what do we want the numbers in that? We're representing a document by a 50,000 dimension vector. What do we want those numbers to represent? In the Bernoulli model, it's actually a nice simple vector. Well, they're both simple, but it's really simple in the Bernoulli model. It's a binary vector. So you just have one if the word is present and zero if it's not present. So for example, the dimension of that feature vector which corresponds to the word the, T-H-E, it's quite a common word in English, will quite frequently be one, and it's rather rare that you'll observe a document that doesn't contain that word. In email, it can happen, right? Because people, you might have very short documents. Okay, thanks, bye, whatever. But in most cases, the might occur. The multinomial model, and we'll see why I call it a multinomial model, is similar, slightly more complicated. So we've got our long 50,000 dimension feature vector, but rather than it being 0, 1, the elements actually indicate the counts. So the feature vector is similar for things that don't occur. Those things are 0 in both feature vectors. But for things that do occur, you just have a 1 in the Bernoulli model, and you have the count. So if the word the occurs, you know, 12 times in the document, it will have a count of 12. That's straightforward, and we'll see how using those representations we can relate them to a generative model, which will enable us to compute these things. Because remember, we want to go and compute a probability distribution. Okay, let's define the Bernoulli model. So, like I said, we have a vocabulary V. So it contains a set of, you know, like mod V words. So that's sort of a set of 50,000 words. And the teeth dimension corresponds to word WT in the vocabulary. So we've got two, we're concerned with two probabilities in this model, one probability really. The probability we're concerned about is the probability of an individual word WT given the document class CK. Remember, all these models, these sort of vector space models, and it's a standard model that's actually used in text retrieval and is at least part of the model used in whatever search engine you might use. They throw away all the ordering information. You're just concerned, it's, you know, they're sometimes called a bag of words. It's called a bag of words as well as being a nice kind of a name which evokes the right sort of thing. A bag is technically a set in which you can have, well, it's not a set, it's in a set each element can only occur once, each type can only occur once. In a bag you can have multiple types. So that's what we mean by a bag of words, and so in particular for the multinomial model, we think of it as a bag of words. So anyway, the probabilities we're concerned about are just the probability of a word given the class. We're not concerned with word ordering, and this all comes from naive Bayes. We're considering each dimension independently, each word independently. So we want to consider the probability of a word given the class, and if you want to consider the probability of WT not occurring, it's just 1 minus that. These two things obviously have to add up to 1. You've only got two alternatives. It either occurs or it doesn't occur. So I think I talked about this last week. This sum corresponds to a very simple generative model for documents. So it's actually a generative model for the document model, because what you generate is the feature vector. You don't know what the count of each word is, or what the count of each word is. You just know whether it occurs or not. And the way you can think about it is that these probabilities, you could think of them as the probability of getting heads of a biased coin. So the probability of getting heads for dimension T is this probability here. Then the sort of, it's like quite abstract, but the abstract way you think of documents being generated in this model is that for as you go along the feature vector for each dimension, which corresponds to a word, flip the coin with that probability. If it's heads, the word is in, you get a value of 1. If it's tails, it's not in, you get a value of 0. That's our document model. I hope you can see already that with this sort of document model, if you've got probabilities for these, when you get a new document coming, you can estimate its probability. You can estimate the probability of the document given the class. And that's what we need to do text classification. So we're sort of there now, and we're just going to go through the details. Okay, so to make things really clear, when we're using the Bernoulli model, we'll go and use B to represent the to stand for the document represented by the Bernoulli model. And in fact, we'll say BI is the Bernoulli feature vector for the ith document, because you might have a whole set of documents, and BI is the ith document. Then the elements of BI we'll call BIT. So you can think of this as a matrix, where each row corresponds to a document and each column corresponds to a word. So if you have 1,000 documents and a vocabulary of 50,000 words, you'll have 1,000 by 50,000 matrix, and that's your data. That's your documents. That's your whole document set in a matrix. That's a really cool thing to be able to do, right? You've immediately converted this kind of mess of kind of semi-structured textual data, and you've turned it into a matrix. And at this point, you can start to do sensible mathematics on it. And well, not quite the world as your oyster, but at least you can do some text classification. So what we want is the probability. What we actually want. So we want the probability that BIT given C, BIT equals 1 given CK, i.e. the teeth word occurs in document I, and that's just the probability of word T given CK. Or you might want the probability of BIT equals 0 given CK, i.e. the teeth word doesn't occur, and that's 1 minus probability of WT minus CK. So these things are the parameters, and then we use them to go and get the probability of each location in a particular document vector. We can combine these together, because remember BIT is either 1 or 0, so if BIT equals 1, then this is the non-zero part of the sum, and if BIT equals 0, then this is the non-zero part of the sum. So that's great. We've got an expression for the probability of a document given a class in terms of these basic probabilities, the probability of a word given the class. So it's really great. We've got this for each dimension. In naive Bayes, we assume they're independent, so we just multiply them together to get the probability of the whole document vector. And we've got a general expression for this. We can just take the sum like this. But of course, for each word, only one part of these sums is non-zero. So we're just basically saying that for each word, you take this probability if it's a 1, and you take this probability if it's a 0, and you can go through the document. So you've got, for each document, it's just this length 50,000 vector. And that's our document model. So this is good. We've got our probability of the document given the class, and that's expressed in terms of the probability of each word given the class. So this is exactly what we need to do text classification. So what are the parameters of the model? We've got a model. We'd like to know what its parameters are. This is just to summarize probability of the word given class and the prior probability of the class. You know, this is just the probability you think when your laptop goes bing because it does that. How do we estimate them? Well, we've got nk is the, or nk of wt, that's the number of documents in class ck, so nk would be like n spam or n ham, where word wt is observed. And big nk is the total number of documents in that class, the total number of spam documents, the total number of ham documents. So you can just estimate these likelihoods, and I'll put a hat over it, over the probability, because it's an estimate. We're estimating it from our data set. And it's just a relative frequency of all the words you've seen in class spam, for example, in class K, how many of them contain WT. And that gives you your estimate of the probability of WT given CK. Very, very straightforward. You want to estimate the priors. Well, if you've got total N documents, one way of estimating the priors just from the data is just by saying, well, the prior for class CK is just the proportion of the number of documents in class K compared with the complete document set. So that's the parameters, and that's how we estimate them. How do we train the model? This is, again, just to summarize. We define the vocabulary. You make counts in the training set. You need to know the number of total documents, the number of documents in each class, and then the number of documents in each class that contain each word. Once you've made those counts, you can use these simple equations. Estimate the two sets of probabilities you need, the likelihoods and the priors. Okay. So we've got our parameters, we've got our data, we've got our model, we've estimated our parameters. How do we do some classification? So we estimate the parameters from the training set, remember? Classification, we get a new document coming in. So your training set is from somewhere because you in your past got so annoyed with spam mail, you decided to annotate all your email as to whether it was spam or ham. That's your training set. And you trained your parameters on that, and you now have your spam filter. So it sits there, and it waits for a new document to come in, a new email to come in. And then what we need to do is, for each class, you need to calculate the posterior probability of the class given the document, given the new document, J. So you want to calculate the posterior probability of the class being spam given the new document, or the posterior probability of the class being ham given the new document. And then to do that, well, we just can do Bayes' rule. Remember, we just need to take the numerator of Bayes' rule, so it's proportional to that, and then we just expand with the expressions we had previously. Remember, this thing looks complicated, but it's basically just a complicated way of saying if it's 1, we take p, and if it's 0, we take 1 minus p as our probabilities of occurrence, and it's a binary vector. Any questions? Easy. So I'm not going to go. So this is an example in the notes. So I'm not going to go through it in huge detail, but just to kind of give you an idea how you go around solving it. All the details are actually in the notes. So we have our task is to consider a set of documents which is related to either sports or to informatics. Being the two major categories in the world, I suppose. We just have a vocabulary of 8 words, goal, tutor, variance, speed, drink, defense, performance, and field. I guess some of those are very sports related, some of those are very informatics related, and some of them occur in both, like I guess goal and performance. So that's our vocabulary, and we can represent our training data. So rather than kind of writing out the documents, you can represent our training data like this. each row corresponds to a document, and each column corresponds to a word. So that's our training data. So we have 5 documents in informatics and 6 documents in sport. So then the question is, we would like to kind of construct a classifier and classify the following things. So, not do the right thing. Maybe not. Try number 3. Let's try that one. Whoa! I wasn't supposed to do that either. It's definitely number 3. Well, it doesn't do what it says on the. Let's try number 2 then. However it works, I don't know. So this is our data, and if I were to write down this low, you can all see.
Yeah, it's cool.
So we want to estimate the parameters. So what are the parameters we need to estimate? We need to estimate P of S and P of I. And P of S is 6 over 11, because we have 6. So we have 11 documents total, 6 are sport, and 5 are informatics. And then again, we're just doing relative frequencies here. We need to estimate probabilities, like probability of W1 given S. And if you look down column 1, there are 3 occurrences of it, so it'd be 3/6. And the probability of W2 given S would be 1/6, correct, yes, 1/6, and so on. Likewise, you want to estimate the probability of W1 given I. There's 5 documents in informatics, and one of them has W1 in, so that's a 5th, and all the way down to probability of W8 given I, which is also a 5th, I think. So, everybody sees what's going on here. We're training a statistical model. Easy. So we're estimating the priors, 6/11, 5/11. This is just based on the data here. Maybe from somewhere you can get better estimates of the priors of documents being sports and informatics than based on just these 11 documents. Maybe not. And then based on these documents, we look at the 6 sports documents and we say, well, the probability of word 1 occurring in sports documents is 3/6. Probability of word 2 will be 1/6. Of word 3 would be 2/6, 1/3. Of word 4 would be 3/6, 1/2. Of word 5, 3/6, 1/2. Word 6, 4/6 equals 2/3. This one, 4/6 equals 2/3. And the final one, 4/6 equals 2/3. So we would go all the way through to write down our probabilities for the sports class, and equally we can go through and write down the probabilities for the informatics class. Okay, so how do we then go ahead and let me try this one. How do we then go ahead and classify something? So we have these documents to classify. So in case 1, we want to estimate the probability of sports given B1. Although the board lights are supposed to be on, it's not really. Can you read this? Well, no, I know you in the front row can read it. You don't need to nod quite so vigorously. Can you read it at the back? Yeah. Or are you just doing your email at the back? Okay. So P of S, proportional to P of S times probability of B1 given S, and that's P of S times the product of from I equals 1 to 8 of B. 1i times the probability of wi given s, that's for when they occur, plus 1 minus B1i. So the B1 is because it's document B1 times 1 minus probability of Wi given S. Okay. So it's an ugly notation, but it's really much simpler, because what does that equal? So the probability of S is 6/11, and then for each one you either choose, if the value of the thing equals one, you choose that; otherwise you choose one minus that. So the first element, where is it? Oh no, battery's gone. Oh shit. Okay, that means a key to, right, I've lost it. Okay. That's kind of annoying, actually. I quite like that one. Good. But it's not as bright. That's so annoying. So the first element is a 1, so we want the probability of Wi given S, which in that case is just 3/6, it's 1/2. The second element is a 0, so we want 1 minus that, which is 5/6, because the probability was 1/6. The third element is a 0, so we need 1 minus that, and that's 2/3. And we carry on, it goes 1/2, 1/2, 2/3, 1/3, 2/3, which apparently is 5/891. We can do the same thing for P of I given B1, and that's going to be 5/11 times 1/2 P of Wi given S, and 1 minus there, 1 minus P of Wi given S, 1 minus P of Wi given S, P of Wi given S, and so on. And you do that lot, and that comes to quite a small number, 8/859/375. So the first one you would classify as S. I mean, what is the document? It's like, 1003101. So it has gold, doesn't have tutor variants, has speed, drink, defense, doesn't have performance, and has field. And that gets classified as informatics. But it's completely made up, so. And we could do a similar thing for the second one. We could do a similar sort of calculation there. Of course, we've done the training. We do the training on the training data, and then we can classify these things. So that's how the Bernoulli model works. Any questions about all that? You could go away programming it in Python this afternoon?
Yeah.
Well, good. You may yet have... No, you'll be doing something simpler, actually. Ish. Okay. Let's have a look at another model, which is the multinomial model. If I do that, do magic things happen? Okay. The multinomial model. I lost the top of my pen. It's been a bad afternoon. The multinomial model differs from the Bernoulli model because the document feature vectors, basically each element is a count and is not a binary value. So we still have these V-dimensional vectors, and dimension T still corresponds to some information about that word, but in this case it's going to be basically the count, and then what we need is the probability of a word given CK is the probability of that word occurring in a document class, but we're going to obtain that some probability based on counts, not just on presence or absence. So let me tell you what the generative model is here. And it's a slightly different sort of generative model, really. So imagine you have a V-sided dice, and the probability of getting a particular side on the dice corresponds to probability of getting the teeth side corresponds to this probability, the probability of a word occurring in that class. So you have a different dice for each class, and we're generating documents for that class. In the Bernoulli model, you kind of flip the coin 50,000 times because you go across all words in the vocabulary and it's either present or absent in the document. In the multinomial model, the way you can think of the generative model working, although we can, as you'll see, we can sort of express it in terms of the full vocabulary. The way you can think of the multinomial model working is that it's like going along point by point in the document, not the vocabulary, but the document, and at each point you roll your dice, your V-sided dice, and whichever word comes up, that's the word in that document, and that's how you generate your document. So it's got a little bit more information. So the Bernoulli model just tells you what words are in the document. This one tells you how many times do they occur. So, how is this going to work? Okay. So the confused how this is going to work. Okay, so we'll call MI the feature vector for the ith document, so the teeth element of MI is MIT, and that's the number of times word T occurs in document DI. So if you kind of make the sum across all T, that's the total number of words in DI. So it's like summing along the row gives you the total number of words in the document, and each element of the row of the notional 50,000 matrix gives you the number of words of each type. And again, we want to estimate the probability using word frequency information from the multinomial model feature vectors. At this point, let's have a digression into. So I ask this every year. You've done permutations, right? So, you know, if we have four letters A, B, C, D. How many permutations? Four factorial, right? Yeah. Okay. That's all easy. Now imagine you have the word Mississippi. It's the favourite word of the multinomial model. We're just talking about letters at the moment. How many permutations of those letters? Okay. So he got it. So you're well on the way to multinomial model. You know all this stuff about kind of common things. So if we're given these things, little indices like this, then you've distinguished the sort of I's from each other. So you would have 11 factorial permutations. But, of course, these things aren't all indistinguishable. So you kind of have to take account of that. So if the I's become indistinguishable, there's four of them. So that's four factorial permutations you can't distinguish. And likewise, for the S's, there's four of those. That's another four factorial permutations you can't distinguish. And for the P's, that's two factorial permutations you can't distinguish. And just to be completist, for the M, there's one of them. So that's one factorial of this one. So you can so you kind of have to take account of that when you're counting the number of possible permutations. And basically, we kind of have this thing whereby if you've got n items, but they're of what do I call them? D different types, and you've got n1 types type n1 examples of type 1 and n2 of type 2, all the way through to nd. Then you take the factorial of each of those types, and that gives you the number of permutations when you have n items of d types, and you know how many items are of each type. And those things are called multinomial coefficients. So the multinomial model is kind of similar. What you want to think about in the multinomial model is you've got D types, and you have a probability P1 of seeing type 1, and P2 of seeing type 2, and PD of seeing type D. So you've got D types. And then you see N items. Maybe it goes something like, 1, 4, 2, 1, and so on. So the probability of this lot will be P1 times P4 times P2 times P1, and so on. Or to say it more generally, what you might want to say is, well, we don't, is that you can't, when you've got that, you want to know, well, how many P1s have you got? If you see P1, what do I call it, x1 times, then it's p1 to the x1, and if you see p2 x2 times, then it's p2 to the x2, and so on through to pd to the xd times. So this is you've got your n items, and you see x1 of type 1, x2 of type 2, and xd of type d, and these are the probabilities of seeing each of the items. Or we can just write that as just a product of pi to the power xi. Now that's all very well, except we've got to take account of the sort of different number of permutations, because you can get orders, if it goes 1, 2, 1 and 1, 2, 1, those ones are indistinguishable. So we've got to take account of that. And we know how to do that. This is basically the multinomial coefficients. You want to have n factorial for the total number, and then on the bottom you sort of have x1 factorial all the way down to xd factorial. Or if you prefer, we can just write that as a little product, and it's just the product of xi factorial. Okay, so that is basically what we think of as the so this is P of X, where the individual elements of X go are that many times. That is basically our way of writing a multinomial distribution. This is exactly what we want for our bag of words model for documents, because what we have for our documents is that each of these x's are basically the words. So you know that word 1 occurs once, maybe word 2 occurs 0 times, word 3 occurs 10 times, word 4 occurs 2 times, and so on and so on. So if we have our multinomial document model, if we're generating models by repeatedly drawing words from a multinomial distribution, then that's our multinomial distribution, and that's a way of expressing the document vector. And remember, here we're thinking of the document vector as this 50,000 width vector, or 50,000 length vector, one for each word. So this is our way of expressing the probability of the multinomial document vector. Like in many of these things, if we're comparing the same document, then we only have to consider for the proportionality this product here to do with the words. Because we're just comparing the probability of the same document for different classes. So here, this thing is a probability of a word given a class, but this thing here doesn't depend on the class. You can think of it as a constant. So we just need to deal with this proportionality here, and we don't need to worry about this normalization constant. I mean, another way of thinking of this constant is that it's just to make sure that all your probabilities sum up to one. Now then, the interesting thing to note about this sort of product. So remember, at the moment, we're still making a product over all the words in the vocabulary. The thing to note about that is that when you're making a product over all the words in the vocabulary, the sort of product you're doing. So imagine if you've got one word of type 1, you would have probability of word 1 given ck to the power 1. If you've got zero words of type 2, you've got probability of word 2 to the ck to the 0. I'm not going to do this for 50,000, don't worry. If you've got, I don't know, five words of type word 3, you get that. Now, the thing to note is that for things that occur zero times, like this thing, that equals 1. So what we actually end up doing is we only need to take account of items in this product that occur one or more times in the document. Now, if you didn't actually take it to the power, but for like this thing, you just wrote down PW3 given CK like five times in the product, then you're basically, you know, this is just a product, you can put it in any order you like. You're basically, instead of computing a product by going along the vocabulary, 50,000 words, you can get the same product just by going along the word vector, just by going along the actual document, and then for each word in the document, you say, what's the probability of that word? Put it in, and if a word occurs five times, that probability will occur five times in the product. So it's exactly the same as this, except instead of having to go 50,000 times or take 50,000 terms in the product, you just have to go and take the number of terms that are in the document, which is many times fewer. So in this case, if our document has L words, then we go and take the product, give the index H equals 1 to L, and if UH is the word at the hth position. So I'm calling it UH simply because WT is like, you know, like W1 would be aardvark and W50,000 would be, you know, syzygy or something. In this case, U1 would be like my, U2 would be name, U3 would be is, and so on. It's the sequence of words in the document. So that's why I'm calling them U. Or put another way, U1 equals, you know, W25,001, U2 equals W15,332, and so on. So we're just taking our product in sequence across the words in the document. So, just like before, that's how we do computing with the multinomial model. So it's a little bit richer than the Bernoulli model. And as before, we've got our parameters, the probability of a word given a class and the prior probability of a class. And we can estimate the probability of a word given a class. Again, this is a kind of complicated way of doing it, but we're just having the z's to kind of equals 0 when document I is class K and equals 1 when document I is class K and 0 otherwise. So we're just kind of counting those words that occur in the documents over all the words. So we can estimate our probabilities of each word just as a relative frequency, and the priors are just the same as before. So how do we train a model? How do we do all this? We define the vocabulary, and the number of words, of course, in the vocabulary defines the overall dimension of these notional feature vectors. And as before, we need to just do counting. So we need to count the total number of documents, the number of documents labeled with the class K, and then the frequency. MIT is a frequency of word T in document I, and you do that for all the words in the vocabulary and for all the documents. And then based on that, given you've got a classification for each document, you can estimate the probability of a particular word given the document. So in the document set, how many times do you see that word normalized by all the words you saw in that document set? So it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different to the Bernoulli model. So this is an example which kind of highlights the difference. So consider the word the. So the probability of the given a particular document class. In the Bernoulli model, what's the probability of that going to be, approximately? Sorry? You think the probability of the word the occurring is 1 over 50,000? What's the probability of the word the in the Bernoulli model? Any further estimates beyond 1 over 50,000? 95%. I think that's not bad. It may be a bit of an underestimate, but it occurs in almost every document. And remember, the way we're doing it is we're normalizing by like the number of documents. So you know, what percentage of documents does this occur in? The multinomial model. What do you think the probability of the is? Approx. Answers to the right order of magnitude are welcome. One percent. Yeah, it's the right order of magnitude. I don't know. I'd say it's probably more like 5%, because in the multinomial model, the difference is like, what proportion of words in all the documents of that class are the? So it's clearly nothing like one, because you have lots of other words in the document. So, but there's a common word. So if you're saying 5%, you're saying like one word in 20 is the in those sorts of documents. Maybe that's about right. 1% is surely a bit low, actually. 10% is surely a bit high, so it's, you know, but it's in single figures. Whereas in the Bernoulli model, you're normalizing by the number of documents. So you're saying, you know, what proportion of documents in this class contained there? Well, that's going to be, as he says, something like 95%, or even higher. So that's sort of one thing to have in your mind to distinguish these two different document models. We don't want to talk about that today. We'll do that next time. Just to finish, classifying with the multinomial model, it's the usual thing. You want to get the estimate for the posterior probability. It's got two terms. It's got the likelihood term and the prior term. You're going to get really bored of this. You're going to get really, really, really bored of this. But if you get sufficiently bored of it, but you still remember it, that's good bored. If you get bored of it and you don't remember it, that's bad bored. So we've got the prior term. Maybe you get it from counting the documents. Maybe you get it from some other source. And then we want to estimate this term, which is the probability of our document being generated from in that class, the probability of this class generating the document. And we can represent this two ways, right? As I said, one way is you go and take the product across all words in the vocabulary, and it's a perfectly good thing to do. So you're sort of saying we've got one word of type 1 and 0 of type 2 and 5 of type 3 and so on. But the thing about that sort of product is that unless your documents are kind of like unimaginably huge, like a complete dictionary, I think it's telling me it's time to stop. Unless it's unimaginably huge, like a complete dictionary, then many of these terms are going to be 1, because something to the power of 0 is 1. So what you can do is you can go and take the product just over the words in the document, and you're just going to take the probability of that word given the document class. So if a word occurs five times in the document, that probability of word two given CK, if word two occurs five times, will occur five times in this, but it's just in that product rather than being taken explicitly as to that power. I've got to stop there, right? Because we're all like, Well, I could carry on for another hour. No, but I will stop there. It's 5 o'clock. It's Friday, and I guess it's Crackerjack. So.